Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Masechet Shabbos Daf Vav. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, a braisa lists the four domains, the four rishuyos, with regards to Shabbos and examples of each. So we have a rishus yachid, a private domain, and the examples given are a ditch that's 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, or a partition that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. Then we have a rishus of rabbim, public domain. Examples given are a highway, a large public plaza, and streets that are open at both ends. Now, transferring from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, is Midaraisa prohibited. Then we have a Karmelis. Now, a Karmelis is neither Rishus HaRabim, because it does not support large-scale traffic, nor Rishus HaYachid, because it's not enclosed. Examples given are C, our storefront bench area. Now, transferring from Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYachid to a Karmelis, or vice versa, is rabbinically prohibited. Then we have a Makom Patur. It's an exemplace. It's a place in Rishus HaRabim that is less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, but higher than 3 tefachim. Again, less than 4 by 4, but higher than 3 tefachim. Transferring from a Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid to a Malkom Patur or vice versa is permitted. Point number two, the same braisa includes a Malchokas about a threshold, Niskupa, which was listed as an example of Malkom Patur. So a person standing on a threshold can take an object from the Baal Bai standing in Rishus HaYachid or give him one. He can also take an object from a poor person standing in Rishus HaRabim or give him one. The one thing he can do is transfer the object from the Baal Bais from Rishus HaYachid to the poor person standing in Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. But if he did, all three of them would be exempt from being a chatas. Now the machlokes is the Acherim, which is understood to be Rav Meir, says, the threshold can function as two different domains depending on the circumstances. When the door to the entrance is open, the iskupa, the threshold, is considered Rishus HaYachid. When the door to the entrance is closed, the threshold, the iskupa, is considered a Rishus HaRabim. Point number three, when the braisa above defined the Rishus HaYachid and then stated, this is a Rishus HaYachid, it implied or rejected specifically the following opinion of Yehuda, that two walls are enough to render the area between them a Rishus HaYachid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone had two houses on opposite sides of the Rishus HaRabim, he can then set either two side posts, a side post is a lechi, or two crossbeams is a korah. So he could either set two side posts or two crossbeams at each end of the open street, and that's required rabbinically so the street doesn't look like a Rishus HaRabim. And then he could pick things up or place things down in the street in the area between the two houses. So once again, we have the braisa listing the four Rishuyas, the four domains with regards to Shabbos. And examples of each, we have the Rishus HaYachid, the private domain, a Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, transferring from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid or vice versa is Midaraisa prohibited. Then we have the Karmelis. It's neither Rishus HaRabim because it doesn't support large-scale traffic, nor Rishus HaYachid because it's not enclosed. Examples given with the sea, the storefront bench area. Transferring from Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYachid to Karmelis or vice versa is rabbinically prohibited. And then we have Makom Patur, an exemplace. That's a place in Rishus HaRabim that is less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, but higher than 3 tefachim. Transferring from Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid to Makom Patur or vice versa is permitted. Point number two, we have the same braisa including a malchus about the threshold, the iskupa, which was listed as a Makom Patur. So it says a person standing on a threshold can take the object from the Baal Bai standing in Rishus HaYachid or give him one. He can also take an object from a poor person standing in Rishus HaRabim or give him the object. The one thing he can't do is transfer the object from the Baal Bais, who's in Rishus HaYachid, to the poor person who's standing in Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. If he did, all three of them would be exempt from bringing a chatas. But Acherim, which is understood to be Rav Meir, says the iskupa, the threshold, can function as two domains depending on the circumstances. When the door to the entrance is open, the iskupa is considered a Rishus HaYachid. When the door to the entrance is closed, the iskupa is considered a Rishus HaRabim. And point number three, when the braisa above defined the Rishus HaYachid and then stated, this is a Rishus HaYachid, it implied it rejected specifically the following opinion of Yehuda, that two walls are enough to render the area between the Rishus HaYachid. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone had two houses on opposite sides of the Rishus HaRabim, he could then set either two side posts or two crossbeams at each end of the open street, and that's required rabbinically, so the street doesn't look like Rishus HaRabim, and then he could pick things up or place things down in the street in the area between the two houses. So we have the four Rishus, we have the Malchokas about the Iskupa, and we have Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that two walls are enough to render a place a Rishus HaYachid. All right, so now we go to our simon. So the simon for Daf Vav is a sword. It's long like a sword. So here we go. The elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowded in the area between two opposite houses. Once again, in slow motion. The elaborate sword dance, that reminds us, we're on Daf Vav. The elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains, she reminds us, we learned about in the Brisa, Rishas Yachid, Rishas Rabin, the Carmelis, and the Makom Patur, was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds, which reminds us that the Brisa included a Malchok is about the Iskupa, the threshold, because a person standing on a threshold can take an object from a Baal Bai standing in the Rishas Yachid, or give him one because it's a Makom Patur. Similarly, he can take an object from a poor person standing in Rishas Rabin, or give him one. The one thing he cannot do is transfer the object from the Baal Bayis standing Rishus Yachid to the poor person in standing Rishus Rabim, or vice versa. If he did, though, all three are exempt from bringing Achatas. But the Cherim, Reb Meir says, the threshold can function as two domains depending on the circumstances. When the door to the entrance is open, the Iskupa, the threshold, is considered Rishus Yachid. When the door to the entrance is closed, the threshold, the Iskupa, is considered Rishus Rabim. So it was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowded in the area between two opposite houses, which reminds us of the Sheet Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that two walls are enough to make an area a Rishus Yachid. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if someone had two houses on opposite sides of Rishus Rabim, he could set either two side posts or two crossbeams at each end of the open street, which is required rabbinically so the street doesn't look like Rishus Rabim, and then he could pick things up or place things down in the street in the area between the two houses. So once again, the siman is, the elaborate sword dance that took place in all four different domains was watched by fascinated tourists sitting on the thresholds or crowded in the area between two opposite houses. All right, so now it's time for four blot back chazara, Dav Beis. So the symbol for Dav Beis is a house, the strange house where the owner kept passing objects back and forth to a poor person standing outside, which reminds us that from the opening mishnah's eight cases of passing an object between the Baal Bai standing in his Rishus Yachid and the poor person standing in Rishus Rabim, we learn that one is only transgressed midoraisa, the Malach of Hotzah, if he does the act of lifting the Akira of the object from its state of rest in one domain, as well as the act of Hanacha, which is placing it down in another domain. And the rabbis forbid one from doing one of the acts of Akira or Hanacha, lest one come to do both elements of the transfer. So the strange house where the owner kept passing objects back and forth to a poor person standing outside featured an exit sign over the entrance, which reminds the Rav Ashi taught that the Mishnah's usage of the term Hotzah, taking out, also refers to Haknasa, bringing in, since the Mishnah includes cases of bringing in as examples of Hotzah. And the Gemara further clarifies that the Tana refers to any removal of an object from its place as an act of taking out. So it featured an exit sign over the entrance and a welcome sign to the home of two domains. Rav has said that when the Tana used the word Yetzias, in the Mishnah is referring to Rishuyas, domains. Therefore, the Mishnah is understood to mean that there are two domains where one is prohibited to commit four acts of transferring. Daf Gimel. So the symbol for Daf Gimel is camel. So we said the camel driver, reminding us we're on Daf Gimel. The camel driver who single-handedly, which reminds us one is only liable to bring a chatas for doing a malacha if he performed it single-handedly. Two people that perform a malacha together are exempt from bringing a chatas. And Rebbe learns this from the pasuk of Vim nefesh achas tachtavish galgav me amarz ba'asosa achas mimusas Hashem ha'shelot ha'asena. If an individual from among the people of the land shall sin unintentionally by committing one of the commandments of Hashem, that may not be done. Rebbe teaches the word ba'asosa by committing as a contraction of the words of ba'asos osa, by committing it, the misdeed, which implies that one must do the complete act to be liable. That's according to Tosfos. So the camel driver who single-handedly carried the water that was loaded up on his back into the public domain, which reminds us, Rava asked Rebbe what the law is in the case where one's friend loaded upon him food and drink in a Rishus Yachid, and then the one with the load walked out into the Rishus of Rabim. He asks, is lifting his body to begin walking Akira's Gufo considered as if he lifted the object from its place, Akira's Chafetz, or not? Rebbe answered that it is considered an act of lifting an object. It's considered an act of Akira since the body is considered in a state of resting on the ground, and the person will be liable to bring a chatas. This is different than a hand that isn't considered in a resting state on the ground. So the camel driver who single-handedly carried the water that was loaded up on his back into the Rishus of Rabim for his camels made the mistake of sticking his hands full of camel treats into a different domain and was told he may not be able to retract them. Because Abai stated that it was clear to him from the Mishnah that the hand is not considered totally drawn to the body to the point that it's regarded as being in the same domain as the body. If it was, then the poor person standing in the Rishus of Rabim would have given his hand the status of a Rishus Rabim, and the homeowner would have been liable at the moment he placed the object in the poor person's hand. This leads Abai to inquire whether the rabbis penalized him for extending his laden hand into another Rishus by giving that hand the status of a Carmelis, thereby forbidding him to retract it. And that question became the focus of the remainder of Daf Gimel. Daf Dalet. So the Simfer Daf Dalet is a door. As we said, the Talavites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which reminds us we're on Daf Dalet. So the Talavites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest. So the dough reminds us that Rav Acha, the son of Rava, taught that Rabbi Bar Abai said conclusively, if one intentionally attached dough to the wall of the oven on Shabbos, the rabbis permitted him to remove it before he comes to transgression that carries the penalty of stoning. So the Talmudites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which was a smash success, especially with a slow motion, making it look like the dough came to rest in the air. Because Rava suggests, the author of our Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, who states that one does not require the Akira and Anaka to be done in a place that it was at least 4x4 tefachim. This would explain why the poor person would be liable for lifting or placing the object in the homeowner's hand, which is less than 4x4 tefachim. According to Rabbi Kiva, one who throws an object from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid via a Rishus Rabim is liable because he says that something contained in the airspace of a domain is legally viewed as if it came to rest there. Therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, a space of 4x4 tefachim is not required. The rabbis disagree. So once again, the Talmudites throw the dough against the inside of the oven door contest, which was a smash success, especially with the slow motion making it look like the dough came to rest in the air before the losing shot landed on a tree branch in Rosh Hashanah. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said the author of our Mishnah is Rebbe. The Gemara seeks to clarify which statement Rebbe indicates he holds an area of 4x4 is not needed for the Akira and the Hanaka. The first source brought is a case where one threw an object in Rosh Hashanah and it landed on a small protrusion 4 amos away. Rebbe says he's liable, seemingly because he doesn't require space of 4x4 tefachim to make someone liable. But this source is rejected, as Abai says this case is referring to a tree that was standing in Rishus Yachid and had its branches extend into Rishus Rabim. Rebbe holds that even though the branches are less than 4x4 tefachim, they're given the status of the trunk, which is wider than 4x4 tefachim. The haystack ride, reminding us more in Daf Hey. The haystack ride through the roofed Rishus HaRabim, which reminds that Rav said that one who transports an object 4 amos in a roofed Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos is exempt since it doesn't resemble the encampment in the Midbar, the Diglei Midbar. So the haystack ride through the roofed Rishus HaRabim came to a sudden stop when a farmer with massive 4x4 tefachim hands, because Rav has said that a person's hand is as significant to him as an area of dalad by dalad tefachim, 4x4 tefachim, even though it's narrower than 4 tefachim, a hand can hold very large objects due to its grasping nature. That's the Rambam. This explains why the poor man, when he places the object in the householder's hand, it's as if he placed it upon an area that was 4x4 tefachim wide. So it came to a sudden stop when a farmer with massive 4x4 tefachim hands, who was walking in and out of his house all day long, paused to adjust his load. Because we said Rav Yochanan taught that if one lifted food and drink in one corner of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, with the intent on carrying it to the other corner of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, the private domain, and then changed his mind, walked out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim and back into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and back out and in. He's not liable until he stands momentarily and then continues walking. Since the Akira is an essential part of the Malacha, it has to be done with intent. And Abai qualifies his ruling and says that he's liable only if he stood to rest. If he stood merely to adjust his load, it's not considered as if he stopped walking. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, where do we have Rebbe Kiva's sheet to the Kuta Kamisha Chunt Chadamya, something contained in airspace is considered as if it came to rest there? That's on Daf Dalet. Good. Number two, where do we have the definitions and examples of the 4 different Rishuyas, the 4 different domains? That's on Daf Vav. Good. Number three, where do we have the question whether a hand should be considered a karmelis and a person should be able to retract it if he placed it in another rishus holding onto something? That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number four, where do we learn that one is exempt from carrying in a roofed rishus rabim since it doesn't resemble the encampment in the Midbar? That's on Daf Hey. Good. Number five, where do the machlokes about the threshold, the iskupa? That's on Daf Vav. Good. Number six, where do we learn that Akira is an essential part of the Malacha of Hotzah, and therefore it must be done with intent? That's on Daf. Hey, great. Number seven, where do we learn a person considers his hands as if they are 4x4 tefachim wide? That's on Daf. Hey, great. Eight, where do we have the question whether Akira's Gufo is considered an Akira's Chafetz, and therefore if someone was loaded up with objects and then walked out into Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, vice versa, that would be Chayv in the Malachim Hotzah. That's on Daf Gimel. Good. Number nine, where do we view Shita, the 2 walls are enough to make something in Rosh Hashanah Yachid? That's on Daf Vav. Good. And number 10, where do we learn that Rav Ashi taught that the term Hotza also refers to Hachnasa? That's on Daf Base. Great. That concludes our power quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Gold from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.